Hello, my name is Fiona Newton. I have with me the captain of the Carlton AFLW team, Keren Harrington. Welcome, Keren.
Thanks, Dave, for having me.
What sort of honour is it to lead your team into an AFLW Pride game?
Yeah, what an exciting opportunity. I'm co-captain with Katie Loynes, so you know, these games where we have the opportunity to celebrate different parts of our community and what the AFLW is all about, which is being inclusive and welcoming to all members of the community. You know, we really relish these opportunities and it's something we're really proud of.
Fantastic. And Carlton are, you know, they are a very inclusive club and have been right on board from the beginning. What happens in the lead up to a Pride game? Is there education at the club? Discussions that go on, what happens?
There's probably no more than what there is normally. I think the AFLW historically has been a space where conversations and education about inclusivity of all different members of the community is an ongoing conversation. So for us leading into the Pride game, it's certainly recognised, and we go through recognition of the jumper and what that means, in particular for Darcy Vessio, one of our players this year, who had a big hand in developing the artwork that's on the jumper this year. I'm sure that she'll go through a bit of an education piece around what that means to her. But I think one of the great things, like I said before, is that the ongoing education and the ongoing discussion around these, you know, sensitive topics historically is really quite open in AFLW. So it's something that, you know, we have those ongoing conversations all the time.
Yeah, look, women seem to lead the way when it comes to inclusion in the football space. I know you're an ally to the LGBTI community. Why do you think it's important to create that inclusive space at the football? And particularly what I love about these games is that, you know, there's drag queens and drag kings, and it's a, you know, a crowd that's at the football that normally wouldn't be. Why do you think that's important to you?
I think it's important to me, I think, because of the awareness that it raises that perhaps outside of AFLW and outside of the football community, the conversations don't happen as freely as what they do within the AFLW space. So for me, it's certainly been a huge learning experience in, I suppose, what other people's opinions and I suppose their viewpoints on certain topics within the community and you know, in the wider politics and all those sorts of things. So it's just been really eye-opening for me, and it's made me more comfortable as well, I think, about, you know, sort of breaching topics and asking questions and having a good understanding of where everyone sort of fits in this really diverse world. So the AFLW has done such a great job in leading that, and it's dragging other people, you know, and other sort of areas of the community in, you know, particularly football and other sports as well along the journey.
Yeah, I think, you know, having players like Erin Phillips kiss her wife when she wins the Best and Fairest, and, you know, we've now got player couples that are the same-sex couples. It's really normalised what used to be controversial, which is really special, I think, for the LGBTI community. You mentioned the Guernsey, so it looks great. It was released on social media and on the Carlton website this week. And I know that it's going to be auctioned off after the game to raise money for Minus 18 and also the Carlton Pride Group. With Minus 18, why did the club pick that particular charity to raise money for?
It was picked last year, and it was picked because of one of the players who was within our club had some dealings with Minus 18 through their charity work, and I think they were a great support of the particular player at the time, and they got up and spoke about how much their support during adolescent times were, and, you know, perhaps if that support hadn't been available to them, that their life might have taken a very different course. So for us as a playing group, it was something that really hit home, you know, very close to the heart, when it's one of our own that had been affected so much during the adolescence, and then there was this charity and organisation that was there to support them and help them through. I think it, for us as a playing group, it was really important that we were able to support them, continue to do the great work that they're doing.
Yeah, I think I was actually at a function this week where some people were raising money for Minus 18 as well, and they said, you know, they really were, particularly during things like the plebiscite, they were picked on some of the younger people. So it's great to give them a voice, and I think raising money for them is such a special thing the club gets to do. So now you were recruited as a rookie in 2017. You were a professional basketball player before that. Would your teenage self have thought you were going to end up where you are?
Nah, absolutely not. I was pretty fixated as a teenager on trying to make the Olympics for basketball. So if someone had said to me, you know, by the time you're 27, this is what you're going to be doing, there'd be no way I was going to listen to what they were saying, let alone think that they were going to, I suppose, speak the truth. So here we are.
Yeah. Okay. One last question. We can't get away without talking about Taylor Harris. So she was in the media again this week. What does the club do to, you know, she's often a target of trolls and also a hero, I think, for a lot of young women. But what does the club do to protect the players when it comes to social media and that kind of thing, and also social media when it comes to these Pride games?
Yeah, it's a real challenge, I think, for the players with this one, because the AFLW gives voice to the players, which I think is really important, that the players have the right to say what they think, to speak some, I suppose, truths that they want to get out, you know, messages which, as you said before, can be very positive. Unfortunately, a lot of the time that brings a lot of negative attention to that player as well. So the club does a great job security-wise, you know, in making sure that the players feel safe and secure with what they're doing. And then on top of that as well, it's just support of all the players and the coaching staff that, you know, when things like what happened with Tay during the week occur, that, you know, she's very well supported. She understands and is very aware of that the players are 100% in her corner, and Tay's one of those players that anything that comes by, she just seems to, you know, crash through and keep moving forward. She doesn't tend to get bogged down too much in what goes on outside of, you know, the club's four walls. So she'll be fighting fit, have no fear.